right. So we're going to continue on through Galatians this morning. Excited to get in the Word with you today. What we'll do is we'll just read this section, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get started. And this will be Galatians chapter 1, and we'll be starting in verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. All right. Father, we just thankful for your word this morning. I ask for help. Help to communicate this word, so we walk away, Father, knowing what your word says and applying it to our life. We're thankful for this help in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So we're in this book of Galatians. Last week, Pete handled the first 10 verses. The book opens, if you remember, where Paul was called as an apostle, or a messenger of Jesus Christ. His apostleship was not from men or through men, right? But through the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, it says. Then he says, grace and peace to you, churches of Galatia, which I just love in light of the fact that we know he's about to come in and just wreck them with reproof. Right? But it's still with this heart of a father towards his son. We're his people, and there's grace and peace, even in the midst of being very wrong doctrinally. There's grace and peace from God. Pretty cool, huh? So that's how he opens it. Then he gives them a reminder of that simple gospel, that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, delivered us from this present evil age, right? And that it's all to the glory of God and not to man. And then he gets right down to the reproof. I cannot believe that you're so quickly removed, it says, and so easily exchange the gospel for one that isn't true. It isn't really a gospel. And you've exchanged it. And I cannot believe how easily and how quickly you've let that happen. Right? He goes through and he says, if there's even an angel that comes or somebody comes in my name, and then he says, even if I show up and start preaching a different gospel to you than the one that I've already delivered, let me be accursed. Let me be accursed. Let me be damned forever. That's how important this message is. And then he says, look, if I was worried about pleasing man, I wouldn't be a servant of Jesus Christ. What great piece of learning there is there, right? Because if My heart is primarily concerned with what other men think, other women think. I'm in no position to be a servant of my Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So the message that Paul was bringing, it says here in verse 11, "For what have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." It's not man's gospel. "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." The gospel is not according to man, right? Just like Paul's apostleship and calling was not from man or through man, but through Jesus Christ and the God the Father. So too was the gospel that he preached. And it's the same gospel that we have heard. We're going to essentially look at 4 points today. The first being that the gospel is not according to man, but was given by revelation of Jesus Christ. That we, by nature, humans, oppose the truth is number 2 point. Number 3, by God's grace we're called and we're saved. And number 4, it's to God be the glory. The overarching theme of this whole thing that you're going to see is that we, as mankind, coming to God, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, lay down our own works. Lay down our own works. There's nothing that I can do or you can do that earn us God's pleasure or God's grace. It is by nature of grace, right? So this verse 11 and 12 opens here in this section that this gospel that Paul preached was not man's gospel. He didn't receive it, nor was he taught it, but he received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This may seem like an obvious point, and I think, you know, it's something we talk about a lot, but you really have to stop and consider the implications. So often, we become very attached to what I believe. Well, this is what I believe, right? Well, this is what I believe. And it becomes almost like part of your identity. This is what I believe, right? And the fact that it's what I believe can become more important than genuine truth. Well, you know, that's what I was taught, right? The thing about that is when you look at it that way, right? Even not meaning to, that's what I was taught. It is something that is within my control. Or it's within your control. In other words, I'm saying I'm holding to this because it's what I believe. But I can change my beliefs to match whatever fits the situation or whatever ultimately makes me feel good or makes me feel comfortable or helps me fit in with the group of people I want to fit in with, right? So that what I believe is under my control to believe or not to believe it. Make sense, right? But if we sit back and we say to ourselves, this word of God, this gospel that's been preached to us is not the word of man. It is the word of God given to us through his son, right? Then it's really not about me at all, is it? And I better be ready to change what I believe based on what his word says. In a moment of time, because it is his word that he is faithful to. It's not what I believe that he's faithful to. It's his word that he's faithful to. And I get to be a participator with him in his will when I believe him. You see it? So the critical point here to understand, this is not fake. This isn't just something made up by Paul and the other apostles. If they made this up, it would look like every other religion where you, mankind, have the opportunity to build yourself up to a certain level of spirituality, right? But this message is saying you have no ability to do that of yourself. It's not about you and your pride and what you've built. It's all about what he's done, and you actually just have to simply recognize it and submit yourself to it. That is not a gospel that the world loves, but it is the one that's been preached, and it's not of man. Do you see it? You may be familiar with this verse in Hebrews chapter 1. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son, right? It's not, this word didn't come by man, right? When you say, well, what about Jesus Christ? He's a man. Yeah, but all that he has revealed to his people, including Paul, is whose word? God's word. He's spoken to us through his son. So when we listen to the son, we're hearing the father's voice. You see it? So clear. The goal of reading and studying God's word is not to find something new, not to have something where I can put my stamp on it, say, this is the Jim Janovac brand of church, come join us. But it's simply to honestly understand what is the will of God. That's what I want to know. We want to know what is the will of God. And God, help us by your grace to receive it, believe it, and walk in it, right? And we've seen from Thessalonians, when they received the word of God, what did it say? It says, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of truth, which is at work in you believers. I like the King James. It says it effectually works in you that believe. It effectively works in those that believe it. What? The word of God. Not my beliefs, not your beliefs, not this teacher or that teacher, but the very word of God. That's what we seek to know, to believe and to walk in, right? And that's how Paul opens this whole book. My apostleship is not of man. It's of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel I'm preaching is not from man. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? The implications of that. Next point. We by nature oppose truth. We oppose the truth. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Okay, now you might read this and say, okay, well, that's Paul. That wasn't me, right? But I'm going to read you something. I want you to listen. You don't have to go there. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. And you, church, were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among whom, check this out, we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. That's where we're at. You know, Romans 3 says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. No, not one. No one does good, right? And what is that talking about? It's talking about mankind without God. Not one of us does good. We think it's good. It's easy to compare myself to someone who's way worse in my own estimation and say, hey, I'm doing pretty well, right? I'm not that guy. You know, the problem is none of us are doing well enough to match the holiness of God. All have sinned and fallen short, all of us. So if we're at the top of all of man's works, which I'm not, are you? You're still too far short for the glory of God. You fall short. You do, and so do I, right? And so here Paul, in some ways more honest maybe than the rest of us, is exceedingly zealous for the thing that he believes. to the point where he was a Christian, he was a terrorist. He was an anti-Christian terrorist. It would be Paul walking into this living room, grabbing you, taking you to jail at best, if not putting you out in the street and getting people together to take large boulders and stone you to death for what it is that you believe and for being here today. That was his thing. That's what he was doing out of conformance to his own belief. Do you see it? And you might say, well, I've never done that. Yeah, but you're dead. And so am I, right? And that's what Ephesians is saying here. And this is something that's really important to understand with the gospel because, look, there's many levels, I suppose, of life, right? People are living at different, doing different things and whatever else, but there's really only one level of dead. You're either dead or you're not, right? You go and you take a walk in the graveyard, there's different names and maybe even stones are different size, but every single one of those people, rich, poor, smart, stupid, dead. All of them, right? And according to Ephesians, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? So am I in a better position than Paul was persecuting the church? Not of myself. Neither are you. You see? By God's grace, we're called and saved. Point number three, verse 15. Look at this. But when he, that's a good way to open that verse. But when he, it says, this is where I was at, Paul says. I was murdering, I was persecuting, I was zealous against, I was violent. I was destructive. I was advancing in my own ways. Verse 15, but when he who had set me apart before I was born, how incredible is that? Did God see the value in Paul's life even before he had committed the sins that he had committed against the church? Do you see that? He saw the value in Paul's life. Do you think he sees the value in your life? Before you were even born, that God sees the value in your life, willing then to send his son for you, for me, to deliver my life from the darkness that's in my life. You see it? But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach among the Gentiles. And it goes on. I want to keep reading in Ephesians for a minute. Listen to this. What did we read before? That we were dead in trespasses and sins, right? That we, by nature, were children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. Here's the next verse in Ephesians. But God. This awesome? This applies to you and me. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. You hear it? It's the same message, right? Same message. So Paul goes on here in verse 16 of Galatians 1. And I love this. Look at this cool little point here. But when, we'll look at verse 15 again, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me. The ESV uses the word to there. Some of you probably have a note that says in the Greek, it's the word in, not to. So the ESV translators decide to give it a to, but it's actually an in. That's the word, I-N, N, in. When, look, and I really think in is A, it's what's in the text, so I'd like to stick with that, but I think there's some great meaning here. When God was pleased to reveal his son in Paul, in order that I, Paul, might preach him, Jesus Christ, his son, to the Gentiles. You see that? This is a work that God does in us, right? It's not just something he reveals to me, but when we are those who receive the word of God and believe the word of God, it is a work that's done in us so that Christ is revealed in our lives. Do you see that? That's a work of God. Versus me simply just seeing and understanding him and then trying to show other people about Christ. It's a work that's done in, so that my life becomes a witness and your life becomes a witness of the work of God in Christ in you. And you're now able to preach that gospel, right? Because it's more than just a message that you've heard. It's a message that has become part of you. He's pleased to reveal his son in him in order that he might preach him among the Gentiles. And this is the message of this gospel, and the deliverance that comes from it is the dying to self. And we're going to see this throughout this book, that it isn't about me. It isn't about what I bring to the table or what I can do or my smarts or my strength. And if anybody's honest, you realize that when it comes down to it, you can't. And you try and you try and you fail, right? But this gospel is really about laying myself down, recognizing that, and saying, not of my own works, but of yours, you know? In verse 13, you see this, he says, "For you have heard of my former life and Judaism." I love that, kind of how he saw it. That was like my former life. That was my old life. I have a new life. And it's not that one anymore. Stop and think of the implications of what Paul had done, okay? He had come into this church and he had killed people. He'd killed mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. He had done that of dear saints, believers, right? And now he's standing before you to preach the very gospel that he killed your son or your daughter for, not but a few years before. There's got to be something that changes in your heart where you say, okay, this isn't about me being qualified. You see? Recognizing I literally have no strength to have done this or to preach this gospel. It's all because of what he's done. Right. I want to take a little break over here from Galatians and turn over to 1 Timothy to the right. First Timothy chapter 1, and let's read verse 12. It says, "I thank him who has given me strength." This is Paul writing. "Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief." He had believed the wrong thing. He had believed his beliefs, but he hadn't believed the word of God. Right? "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Paul isn't humble bragging here. You know, he's writing this book by revelation and with the understanding of what God had worked in his life. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Isn't that awesome? Paul's life here that we're reading about, he's giving us a little insight into his story. He's given this insight to the Galatian churches, right? But it's for a purpose, because his life is an example that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience, Jesus Christ's perfect patience, as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. And then it says this, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Third or fourth point is that it's to God be the glory. I'm going to read here back in Galatians. God was pleased to reveal his Son in Paul, in order that I might preach among the Gentiles. And it says, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that's Peter. I remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. And this is furthering Paul's narrative that this gospel that he received, it wasn't from other men. There's a cool little point here worth making, and Jared had shared it with me the other day when we were praying, and I just blessed me. And that is, like, it's so often, you know, how we determine if someone's qualified even to be a minister of the word is that they have the right pedigree and everything else. So you realize that Paul's pedigree was that he was saved by grace and chosen by Jesus Christ and willing to teach a message that wasn't his own. You see that? You know, he didn't even, you would think in that day, right, if you wanted to learn about this Jesus Christ, that you probably would go to the best schools. Oh, wait, there is no school. Then you'd go to the apostles, right? The ones that had learned from Jesus, and you'd learn. This is something for 3 years. There's relative obscurity. We don't even know really what Paul was doing, right? We know right off the bat he began to preach Christ. We do know that, but then there's this three-year period that's blank. 3 years. And I think, gosh, there's a lot of application here, right? Because sometimes it just takes time. Be patient with yourself, right? Paul wasn't the apostle that we know right out of the gate, right? He had 3 years of time. What he was doing, I don't know. But he was being taught. He was being taught, receiving this by revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? Pretty exciting, right? Who knows what God can work in your life? I don't know if you ever read about different Christian missionaries, but someone I thought about this morning as I was thinking about this. Anybody ever hear of Gladys Elward, by chance, right? She's like one of my favorites. If you're interested, go look her up. Read a little biography about her. But she was this little woman, dark hair, worked in England. She was a working class woman. She was a maid, but she wasn't well educated, but she had this heart where she when she was 18 in a revival, she heard about the gospel. She got born again and her life changed. And it was put on her heart to go and preach the gospel in China. right? There's this young girl that was on her heart to do. And for years it remained on her heart. And she even went to China Inland Mission at the time, who was sending missionaries to China. And because of her lack of education and other disqualifications of her lack of pedigree and everything else, she was denied. They wouldn't send her into the mission field. But she didn't give up the vision. She didn't give up what God had worked in her heart, and she continued to pursue and to pray and to ask God for help and to raise money. And eventually she makes it to China on her own. And not on her own, though, right? Because it was God at work. And it just, that story is amazing. But God is full of stories like that, taking the most unlikely person. You know, Paul's a great example of that. Most unlikely person to do this job, and by grace, turning their life around to be exceedingly useful for the kingdom of God and a glory to Him. Isn't that cool? Gosh, what about your life? What about mine? You know, it might feel like here we are, just a small church in, you know, one of the smaller cities in the United States, right? And busy with life and whatever else, right? But gosh, just God puts something on your heart to minister. It's what you want to do. Pray. Go to Him. You know, seek opportunities. Get out there and do it. You know, let God work. Be patient with yourself. And trust that He's at work. Yeah. Not by your doing or work, because we're dead, remember? But by His. He's able to do what you cannot do in your life. Pretty awesome little thing to see, that pattern laid out in our Apostle Paul here. Then it says this, verse 22, "And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.'" Isn't that cool? God is like so good at that. He's so good at taking people opposed to Him, and by His love and gentleness and tenderness and strength, turning that life around. What about those in this room that truly desire already to walk with Him? What do you think He can do with your life? By your own works? By your own wisdom? Right? By your own beliefs, the things that you believe? Or by His word? By His work? You see? That's the beauty of this gospel. And what's the result? They glorified God because of Him. Gosh, oh, that one person would glorify God because of you. You see? What is that worth? It's the very reason why you're born. And in Revelation it says all things were created for Him. You know, and for His glory. That's why you're here. It's awesome. So, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this, says, "But we have this treasure," and it's referring to this gospel, it says, "in jars of clay." You know what those jars of clay are? This thing. It's using that analogy. It says we have this treasure in a jar of clay, referring to our bodies. And this is why, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's why, right? The surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I want to read one more verse here, or a section out of 1 Corinthians, if you turn there with me, to chapter 1. Verse 26 says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Isn't that cool? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Gosh, and this is key to receiving this gospel, is when we are finally willing to lay ourselves down, right? When I finally stop trying to work for the approval of men or even myself or some standard that I place there, right? Honestly, even to try and work for the approval of God, the approval he wants to give you is the one in his son, Jesus Christ, of a humble heart that says, Father, I can't, but I know that you can. I accept your gift, right? I receive that salvation. And I now want to walk by the Spirit you've given me rather than my own works, right? If this salvation and if this walk with God is in any way what we have done or will do, we're always going to feel insecure around each other and before God, because you will never measure up, and neither will I, right? We'll always feel like we're never enough, and you'll be striving your whole life to try to be enough. That's a different gospel. It's not the one that was preached. Some people go the opposite way and they say, look at me. Look at these works that I have done. Am I not righteous? Am I not at least better than most? I think when I go to the presence of God that he will at least look at me and give me a fair judgment based on my peers. And I think I'll come out all right. That is wrong. And you will find that you have nothing in that day, right? That also is another gospel. Can't be done, right? So the gospel that we believe is not our own belief. It's a gospel that's been given to us by revelation of Jesus Christ, right? We by nature oppose the truth and are dead in sin, have no power to resurrect ourselves. Right, but it's by grace and God's calling that we're called, that we're delivered from death and given life. And now that we've learned to rest in him and cease from our own works of trying to please him and others, we're suddenly in a position of life that ultimately redounds to the glory of God, just as it did in Paul's life, who's an example to us. And that's living the gospel. You see it? And this is what Paul's going to be addressing through the rest of this book in quite some detail. Okay? So, Father, I just want to thank you for your word, the joy of it. Help us not lose sight of the joy of your word, Father. May I lay my own life at the feet of the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and recognize that my works are of no consequence and outside of what you've done. Thank you for delivering me, and thank you for delivering us. And may we be useful to you, Father, for the work of the ministry, for the gospel of Christ in Pittsburgh. And we pray this in his name. Amen.